Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The following program is brought to you by the Preferred Home Team. Content is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal or real estate advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Hour, a forum of ideas, plans, and expert advice on all things real estate. Andy Prasky with RE/MAX Advantage Plus was named Super Agent by Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Chris Rooney of RE/MAX Preferred is a Lakeshore and Luxury Home Specialist. Together, they cover the Twin Cities. This combined dynamic duo has sold over 2,000 homes, ranked in the top 1% nationwide, top 10 in the state of Minnesota, and still have time to get together every Saturday to talk about real estate. Here's Andy Prasky and Chris Rooney, Denny Law, and the Real Estate Radio Hour.
Yes, indeed. Here we are. Good morning. Welcome to this edition of our real estate show. We're around every Saturday in the 10 o'clock hour. Chris and Andy in studio. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Hope it's still going on, right? Are you still celebrating?
Turkey's not gone yet.
All right.
We celebrated at the hen house earlier today. Prepping, of course, for the show.
Of course. Yeah. It's a meet. It's research. Yeah. I understand.
And Denny, we didn't say this before we got on, but your team beat my team last night.
How about that?
I know. Eden Prairie, though, you got to give them credit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty impressive.
In a Tonka Duke.
Very impressive.
Too,
so.
It was a good game.
Fun stuff.
Did you guys watch it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I wanted to ask you, I don't know if we got around to that last week when we were doing the show, but I always like to ask you, how was your week? And this is a dip, you know, it's a holiday week. So
yeah, it's a tough
week. Does that change the business? I would assume it does.
You know, a little bit. I think that we still have the people that have lifestyle changes happening, and you know, for whatever reason they need to sell, they still need to sell, so they're on the market. So the business doesn't go away. It just, I think for a couple of days it changes, you know, the speed that it's working at. But it, I mean, right away today again, we're right back at it. So we've got open houses and we've got the, I don't know, online traffic has been really interesting looking at the amount of clicks that we get over these holiday weekends, you know, and clicks are online showings. And that's what Chris and I have talked about for years. The online clicks, actually, the last couple of days have been very good. So a lot of people sitting at home thinking, you know,
they have time, right?
They have time. And so they start looking online at houses, and that always gets us excited because that's the trickle down from there, is if it converts into a showing and then showings turn into offers and, you know, and then we have sale.
You know, we had a number of people, sellers on my part, that decided, hey, we're going to just take off for the holidays instead. And so that's happening a lot. A lot of listings are going what's called in the real estate industry TNAS, which is temporarily not available for showings. And it basically just stops the market time. Mm-hmm. Other realtors can see it, but I think what's interesting about a TNAS listing is that you can't be marketing them, you know. So let's just say that another agent wanted to, they saw it on our MLS.
Yeah.
You can't see it from a consumer standpoint. You don't see it anywhere. It's not like it's active. It's off market. But an agent can see that it is that. Mm-hmm. And if that agent wants to be able to show it to somebody else, we have to take it off that status and make it active.
Oh, is that right?
So it's open to everyone. Yeah. And so, you know, and you got to take down signs and you got to do all that kind of stuff. But mm-hmm. it's something that's kind of come into the business
the last couple of years. Let's talk about an example. Why would somebody do that, Chris?
Well, I mean, that they want to not show during the holidays. Maybe they have a bunch of people coming in and just don't want to be, you start decorating mm-hmm. and you do all that kind of stuff. But they might go the TNAS just in case there is someone like that's maybe coming in from out of town. Mm-hmm. You know, that if they've exhausted everything else that's on the market, your agent might be looking at that and say, hey, maybe we can go look at this one.
Well, I had, Danny, two examples of that where we had one of our clients that had a wood floor problem. And so they did that where they pulled it off the market to stop the market time. They actually replaced the floors and then we flipped a switch again. And we've also had it where we had one of our clients have a baby. So all of a sudden there's a new baby at home and they wanted to have a couple days.
So there are reasons to do it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Rather than just cancel a listing right. and then relist it again. So, right. yeah, that's the way to do it.
Give our listeners the chance to chime in if you have a real estate question. We always like to welcome yours either by phone or by text. Let me give you the phone number, 651-989-9226. Or if you'd rather send the guys your text message, that's 81807.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, we're gonna hit on a bunch of old text questions that we keep missing on. And then going to talk about a couple other things. Kind of one of the big things now is if you're not going to go off the market and you're not getting showings, I mean, reducing the price might be a thing that it's time to consider. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then a couple other ways in which to maybe make your house look a little more expensive. I always talk about, mm-hmm. you know, I always like my marketing materials better than everyone else's at that level. Mm-hmm. But I think people have to look at their house at that level as well. So if you have something that normally doesn't happen in that price range, but we can do it somewhat affordable, mm-hmm. you know, it makes your house stand out. You know,
truly demonstrating value. I mean, I think that's a key thing is that in any purchase you do, you want to feel like you're receiving value for the amount of money you're exchanging. And in housing, I think sometimes we forget about that because, well, this is the way I lived and this is the way I liked it. And if you don't spend the time and the effort to make your house merchandisable, as I say, where the house actually works, it flows, it actually has the balance that it needs, you know, with the colors and the styles and the updates. If you don't spend that time, you're crazy. I mean, it's just like not washing your car before you try to, you know, trade it in. It's like, you know, turn it in with a backseat.
Good analogy.
Yeah. I mean, it is. And so same concept there, but it's, I don't know.
Yeah, no question. I think there's some examples of that I use a lot, and we've had people on before, but is a garage door.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
A garage door is kind of a big thing when you drive up to a house.
Yep.
You see that thing. And if you see one that's, you know, beat up from the kid throwing baseballs and hitting hockey pucks against it, that's not a good thing. But if you want to step up that next level and, you know, maybe add some windows on the top or do the wood doors, you know, mm-hmm. it can totally change the look of the property. So
that's for sure. I mean, I think that there's, you know, curb appeal is one of those things that this time of the year we used to always think of landscaping and things like that, but obviously that's not going to be an asset now. So
right.
we've talked about yard sculptures. We've talked about new front doors, new garage doors. You know, if you could sneak in on one of these 50, 60-degree days, get a little oil-based paint on that exterior a little bit, you know, to, you know, jazz it up a little, that's also helpful. But it's, you know, some of the other things, too, is creating an environment that's inviting. And I think that, you know, one of those is like when we talk about like painting interiors and not using all vanilla, you know, it's actually using they you know, the phrase elegant or something that's a little warming or, you know, following the trends a little and actually adding that essence of it's, you know, we are paying attention to what's happening in the rest of the world. We may not have all of the house updated that way, but it's one of the tips that we've given. I know our stagers, right. I hear them say it all the time.
Yeah, I think you got to be real careful too sometimes with paint. A lot of times we'll see on listings and when you go in, you know, you have the ability in which to put in 24 photos mm-hmm. of a home. And sometimes when you get the blue room, the green room, the purple room, and the, you know, the mauve room, you know, and then with some other stuff, it just doesn't, I mean, people might just flip past that. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is when you're looking at a house, the more, you know, that it goes throughout the whole house, that's the same thing with flooring. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go from tile to wood to carpet, you know, it makes it look smaller. And if you go from mauve to purple to pink, it makes it look smaller. And so if you're, you know, if you're doing that, decorate kind of more with your furniture or colors or flowers versus your paint.
Almost like staging, right? You know, you just bring the professionals in there for a couple thousand bucks. And it sounds, yeah, it's a lot of money. But that couple thousand dollars you invest into your property to make it look exceptional makes people remember your property. They say, remember that house that just – it just gave them a good feeling, right? And that's the thing is the – you know, just sometimes even like I always say, updating your light fixtures in your house. That's another item that I've gone to where I've said, listen, that is the quickest, easiest fix. You know, and you know, nowadays a lot of times with the lighting options are out there, there's lots of really white, you know, the LEDs and the whatevers. And spending the time to buy the better bulbs that aren't always just that glow-in-the-dark white – actually to create an environment in that house and the fixtures themselves too. A lot of those fixtures actually have the ability to create a vibe. Walking, you know, like we always look at those, the drum lights, I call them, with the fabric on them. And I'll walk in there and I always think, oh, it looks like the 60s. And other, you know, younger buyers are like, wow, these are amazing. So it's kind of fun. You know, then you just triggered somebody's emotions. And that's the key. Get them in that door. Get them excited. Get them feeling like, hey, I love this place. And it might be something as simple as, you know, like we're talking about.
I tell people too that what I mean, we got to find, okay, what is our sale here? What's our main thing? And you got to make that look good. And then what they start doing is they start justifying the other stuff. So if it's that kitchen, you know, that it's really nice, but you have, you know, brass hardware and, you know, a white sink and, you know, that boy, this is our thing. We've got to go after that place and be able to fix it mm-hmm. with the countertops, the sink, maybe appliances and all that. But that's our focal point. And then we can kind of get away and maybe it's just decluttering and painting on the other half of it, you know, because then they can justify it and say, oh my gosh, we're going to be in this kitchen. It's awesome. We'll never leave here. You know, and by the way, we just sleep in those bedrooms.
Right.
You know, so they justify things.
Well, one last thing quick, Denny, is the appliances I'd throw in there, too. Is that we always think about appliances and the things that they're going to touch every day, like a refrigerator or a microwave or whatever. Having those last few little things updated in that house, too, can add that sense of the technology's there. I move in this new house and I get the new stuff. And that, for a couple thousand dollars again, can, I think, reward you significantly with that buyer's perception of value when they come in there saying, wow, look at this new stuff we get, right? That creates that vibe in that house, too, having the new technology.
And you guys, as the experienced real estate agents, can give them these thoughts, right,
Absolutely.
To help. It helps everybody.
Yeah, and that's why we always tell them, get us in early, you know, before you start doing all that stuff.
Good point.
You know, because sometimes you spend money on things you don't need to spend money on.
Tell you what, we're going to take a break, but Claudia is on the phone, and we have some texters as well. So if you do have a really – we're going to get to your questions in just a moment. 651-989-9226, or send a text at 81807. This is The Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to The Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO. Chris and Andy in studio welcoming your phone calls or text messages concerning any real estate question you might have. 651-989-9226. Let's go to the phones. Claudia is calling from Wyoming, Minnesota. Go ahead, Claudia. Thanks for waiting.
Yes, I was just wondering. We have a regular home in Wyoming and then a lake home. And worst case scenario, so we're thinking of selling our regular home in about a year. And then worst case scenario is we sell it for about $350,000. We have $150,000 worth of equity. So then we can put $100,000 into our lake home because we want to build a second story and then buy another home for less for another 5 years until we retire. Is that a bad idea?
Well,
that's a lot of details. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, let me ask you a quick question, though. Are you intending to end up at the lake home in the end?
Correct. Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's where we want to retire.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's still another 5-6 years out.
Yeah, exactly. So what you're doing is, I mean, and I think this is the great part of it. You know, you're getting rid of that one so you can fix it up and enjoy it now. I think so many times people wait, you know, to enjoy it. I mean, that's even when it comes to selling.
Yep.
You know, they wait until the very end, and that's when they put all the appliances in the countertops right. and all that kind of stuff. They can never enjoy it.
Right.
It's for the next person. And so I personally think I like that idea. I mean, mm-hmm. and as far as the lake home, I mean, they don't make a ton more of those lakes, you know, so the value there is going to be good. I mean, that mm-hmm. price range for that area is a good price range. to be able to sell it, be able to get another house. I think that's a great idea.
Well, you know, and there's a lot of other options there too with, you know, some of our financing guys we've had and gals we've had on the show here that would tell you about cash out refis where you could probably refinance your existing house, take that same amount of money out and have it to put towards the cabin without having to make the move. Because one key thing there, and not to insult my industry, but we do charge fees to sell things. And so that equity is going to be taken out of there. If you buy and sell a couple times, there's going to be, you know, obviously you have fees related to all of those. You'd probably be money ahead if you really do the math on what it would cost you to sell in fees and then to rebuy something again. It might be cheaper to stay there for the next couple of years. And then when you sell, you'd take your one-time tax deduction and enjoy the cabin, like Chris said, in the meantime.
Yep.
I was looking in the paper this morning, rates are under 4%. So, you know, that's still pretty impressive. I mean, most of our careers, it's been up in the sevens and eights, you know.
I got an email on jumbo rates that it was like 3.875% on a 30-year with no closing costs, no origination fee.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, some of those jumbo products, I'm telling you, you got something that's over, 420 or something?
Yep.
You know, there's some great products
out
there. But see,
there's a difference there. And there's two frames of mind out there. The person that's saying, okay, I want to be debt-free and not have the overhead. And there's the other person that says, hey, here's a tool I can leverage and get, you know, this asset for less money and have a low payment on it and not be scared of the payment. You know, it's just two different strategies. As you get older, obviously, we all change our ways. We like to get a little more conservative, I think,
with
the money.
Yes. Texter says, what is contingent upon sale of another property? How long would a pending offer take?
It's a good question. So there's on the purchase agreement nowadays, there's actually three statements on if you can qualify without selling anything else. Mm-hmm. You know, that's as good as you can get. And then there's another one that says upon the successful closing of your house. So mm-hmm. it means it's sold, but it hasn't closed yet. But it needs to close for you to have that money to be able to go buy the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one that's contingent upon the sale of another property. And so what that's stating is that the other people have to sell their house to be able to get the money to be able to purchase yours.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it's subject to the sale of another property, you know, and so now say they sell their property, then they release that contingency and you move towards closing.
Mm-hmm.
But then it goes down to the next one that it's contingent upon the successful closing of that house as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's, I mean, it's a little bit,
but here's the good
news. I use it a lot.
If you're a buyer and you're cash or you have the ability to perform and you see that a property that you're interested in, you know, sells contingent, you can still write a backup offer. And actually what that does a lot of times is escalates their purchase agreement to make them perform. So it bumps, hence it bumps them out of the way. Most purchase agreements, I'd say almost all of them, will have a timeline that they have to remove that contingency. So
it's typically 3 days.
Yep.
That you usually have. So if you get an offer and you accept it, a second offer, you accept it, you got to give that first buyer 3 days in which to be able to make good on their offer.
Or whatever they put in that blank, because it is a blank that you could put in there 30 days if you wanted to.
Right.
Nobody would accept it. But I mean, you could in theory put that in there. So a lot of times what I always say is that don't be afraid to write an offer on a property just because it's sold contingent, unless you spend the time and research with that agent and say, okay, it's basically a done deal and here's why. But if they say, yeah, we're waiting for them to sell their house, they just put it up for sale and your cash, bump them and get that buyer out of the way so that could be your property instead of theirs.
Mm. Well, there's a lot of sellers out there that say, no way, I'm not taking a contingent offer because mm-hmm. that wrecks the marketing. In some cases, that's true.
Right.
In other cases, though, what sometimes it does is just hit something and other people that were looking at it, all of a sudden they say, oh my gosh, it just sold contingent. You know, someone else must want it, and then they justify it. Then it's kind of like, gosh, it must
human
be
nature.
Worth it. Yeah, it's crazy how it works.
Well, it creates demand, right?
Yeah,
on your own property.
Yeah.
And that's a crazy part about it, too, is that that's exactly what I always say, is that even if it goes pending for one day, it seems to make a difference with the buyers that are out there that see it and they say, oh, it went pending, and they feel like now something they may have wanted is gone.
Is gone.
Creates that urgency.
Yep. Tell you what, we have to take a break. We have another half hour of the show to go, so folks on the line or texters, hang on. We'll get your questions answered. There's a line open if you want to ask your real estate question by phone. At 651-989-9226 or send a text 81807. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our real estate show here on 830 WCCO. 35 is our Twin City temperature reading. And if you have a question related to real estate, we take them every week by phone or by text. And there is one line open, 651-989-9226. Text, if that's easier, 81807. We have some of those as well. But Chris and Andy, Dave in Northfield has a question before we move on. Thanks, Dave. What is your question?
Hi, I have a 40-acre hobby farm near Northfield, and I'm thinking about downsizing in the next couple of years. I had a realtor come out and look at my property to kind of give me an appraisal, etc. I have a 4,000 square foot Morton pole shed, and it's cemented and everything, a real nice building. He said that the value of the pole sheds is very little when they go to appraise it for the banks. And I guess, does that make sense? And can you explain that to me?
Yep, it's true. That from an appraisal standpoint, but from someone who wants a 4,000 square right. foot Morton building, they're going to pay you for it. And then what the appraisers typically do is justify the value of the house and the land. You know, they just can't give a whole bunch of credit towards that building. But to me, I mean, and if it's, it says selling a hobby farm, you got to give the people that are buying, you know, all the information to be able to make a decision. Other things you need to look into is that land subdividable? You know, because that could be a bigger windfall for you than selling it as, you know, a 40-acre hobby farm with a 4,000 square foot pole barn. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
No, I agree 1,000%. That's exactly what I was thinking. You can get down into, break off 3 10-acre parcels. There's a lot of people that would love to have a, 4,000 square foot Morton building with a 10-acre parcel as well as a 40. Sometimes when you get bigger acreages with hobby farms, you perceive the value to be there, but the buyer can't afford it. When you subdivide things down, you'll actually get more per acre by a ton. And so that's why that's good advice, Chris.
Well, thank you, Andy. I think that leads us right into our next question. Do you sell by owner versus realtors?
Well, of course.
We both said sell by owner. By owner. 100%.
Yeah. Come on.
As long as you're a realtor.
Yes.
No.
Right.
No, I mean, you're just eliminating a lot of the market is what you're doing. You know, Zillow's starting to do that where they're putting it on there where sellers can get people coming to look at their house. But I always tell people, I mean, the whole, there's just so much more to it. And I think in the end, it does cost money, but I mean, there's stats and proven. You're Mr. Stat Guy.
I always say this, the money that you pay a realtor in fees, usually they pay for themselves and some, and then there's no stress or there's all of the what ifs are taken care of for you. And so it's a case of where just like anything else in life, I mean, you could probably perform surgery on yourself if you wanted to. I mean, you know, there's probably kits out there online. I always say this. If you're capable and you have the skill set, why wouldn't you? And if you don't, then you need to hire the right people to help you. Just like there's a reason why you have a job, you know, as a listener. You know, I mean, what do you do for a living? What value do you provide to that industry or that person or that company or whatever? And it's the same concept. Real estate agents add value in a different way. They create hype about your property, which usually generates a higher sale value. And the marketing that goes behind it will usually, the negotiations, I always say too, is a big part of it. Negotiations are usually more reasonable. People that come in to for sale by owners, the first thing they do is say, well, let's whack off, 6, 8, 10%, because there's no realtor fees.
Yep.
And so they're going to come in and lowball you anyway. So you might as well have a realtor involved. Just personal opinion.
Exactly. Well, I think here's a real good example is even myself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I own something that I don't normally deal with, and that's not what I do. I hired a realtor. Mm-hmm. A different realtor to sell my property for me. And they got, I mean, I know I had an offer and they got us almost $400,000 more because they knew, what the value was and who those people were that were looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the hobby farm down in Northfield.
Right.
You know, you got to know what's happening in that marketplace to be able to do that. And whether it's subdividing or it's that building that's a big sale point.
Yep.
You know, because for a lot of people, I've got 3 people right now looking south of the river, not as far as Northfield, but south of the river, they're looking for storage. They have another house. They'll buy this place, use it for storage, and rent out the house.
Absolutely. Plus, and those people that own hobby farms or have farms and they've heard the brand, like for example, Morton, that's a quality brand. There's a reason why he said that. He believes and subscribes to that brand, just like a lot of other people will. And there's a marketing niche there that when you go to market that property, pushing that brand, there will be somebody that will want to buy that and say, wow, nice pole barn, you know?
The texter came in a bit ago, and maybe you guys, is there such a thing as a peak month to list your home in the spring?
I mean, typically people say after the Super Bowl, but I subscribe to it depends what segment you're in. You know, I mean, we've had such great luck with upper bracket homes in the fall, which is crazy. I mean, it's either early in the spring or it's later in the fall. In the summer, they kind of sit because people are busy. But, it depends what the market's doing as well. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of houses on at that time.
Right.
You know, you jump in.
I was just that was going to be my little smarmy comment here. Was the old So the peak month, whatever that month is in your market or your price range, be on the market before that and steal the buyers ahead of time, because buyers, I don't think, shop just in the month they're looking. Buyers are out 6 months to a year ahead of time, and they're watching, and they're, you know, stocking that neighborhood, and they're waiting. And then the timing is right when now come, you know, March, April, all these houses start hitting the marketplace. Now they have a variety to pick from, and hopefully it's not just that one buyer trying to, you know, go in and buy one of 30 houses, because markets do change. When there's more competition, generally that means you're not going to fetch as, you know, many buyers in the market, which usually less demand, less price. So,
yeah. And I also think, too, is talk to your realtor sooner than better. Don't wait until February to call them. Do it now, or him or her. Call them now so they have that and they know about that in their back pocket, because it's all we do every day is talk to different realtors, and people are like, hey, you know, do you have anything here? Right. You know what? We do. And sometimes, you know, people love what no one else knows about, you know, and so it's sitting there, and typically you can get more money for it.
And think about this too, Chris. I mean, now let's say, okay, we're going to throw some granite in. We're going to do some, you know, touch up a few things. Well, guess what? That's 6 to 8 weeks out sometimes. Those contractors aren't sitting around on their thumbs right now. Those guys and gals are out there pounding nails every day. And a lot of times they're out a month and a half to 2 months, the really good ones. And so you're going to have, if you start now, you might get it ready by that time. No joke. You got to start now.
Good point.
Yep. Maybe you guys can feel this text. Can you assign a worth to a non-contingent cash offer versus a contingent offer, maybe as a percentage off the purchase price?
That's interesting. So, I mean, a non-contingent offer that maybe has, you know, that has financing versus cash, I think you can kind of play with both of them. Sure. I mean, typically cash is king, but usually it just, I mean, it depends, again, what price segment you're in.
Let me ask you a question. Do you throw up a little bit in your mouth when somebody says, I'm bringing you a cash offer?
Sometimes.
Because you know what that means. That just means to get ready. You know?
Yeah, that's going to be low.
It's going to be low. Yeah. Or they come in there and they think they're going to get the world from you because they're cash. And it's like, here's the deal. At the closing table, we walk away with cash no matter what, no matter if it's from a bank or from that individual. So it's a matter of which is the path of least resistance to get you to closing and which nets you the most amount of money.
But sometimes cash can get you done a lot quicker too. And that might be motivation for someone. Hey, I want it done now, you know, and you can close in 7 days, you know, 14 days. You know, if you have financing, I mean, it's going to be pretty hard to close, you know, within 30 days.
And you think about this though too, Denny, there's people outside of their decision-making circle that are making decisions for them. When you have a bank, you know, that you're using to buy that property, the appraisers, the underwriters, all of those people have their finger basically on the file and they're looking at it. And at any time they can say, you know what, we don't like this or we want more of that. And so that's what the financing scares a lot of people, if you will, especially if it's a property that maybe has a septic system that's questionable or maybe has, you know, some kind of a challenge with something. And the banks will find that out and the banks will actually demand that stuff gets updated or changed or, you know, whatever. And then with the cash buyer, they can come in and assume that if they don't do their homework, you know, kind of hurt themselves.
So how about a percentage between a non-contingent and a contingent? Is there typically there's a difference? I say, though, on the contingent offer, if someone's, you know, going to sell a $200,000 house, it's kind of like, well, that's going to get done. But you still have to worry about that $200,000 buyer getting their financing and make sure that closes before you get yours. I had an instance one time that had a client that came in right away. They had to sell their house. They offered us $50,000 more over full price. But they wanted 30 days in which to be able to sell their house. So we had to take it off, but we were in the prime time. It was on water, and my people ended up turning it down and ended up getting full price. But it was kind of like it would have got them past the season, you know, and so they were taking a big chance, and this was a house that was a little more money.
Right.
You know? So it really depends.
So if it's cash and they come in and say, we're going to close quick, we're going to close in 10 days, clear the title for us, let's go. And then you now don't have that house payment. You don't have the taxes. You don't have the overhead. And all of those things have to go into the equation, I think, for sure.
Tell you what, let's do our quick break here and invite our listeners to join in either by phone or by text. Phone number 651-989-9226. If it's easier, send us a text and we'll get back to that screen too at 81807.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Show here on CCO 35 and a few clouds out there right now. We have callers, guys, and texters as well. Let's see how many folks we can help out with their real estate questions before we take our leave.
Just tell Andy to talk fast.
Oh, Very good. Lightning.
Impossible.
Weird.
Impossible.
Harvey is calling from St. Cloud this morning. Harvey, what can we do for you?
Good morning. Great show again.
Thank you.
I've got a two-part question. Earlier you were talking about curb appeal. We're in an addition. We've got an acre land. We've got seven perennial gardens. Okay, and we do have a 85-foot well that takes care of all our sprinkler systems. So there's no hoses. Put it that way. Is that too many gardens when somebody comes up to the home and, oh my God, look at all this work?
Yes.
Okay.
We had one. We had a huge rose garden that was in front of the house. No one would buy it because they were afraid to rip them out because it was so beautiful. And I finally got the seller to do it and sold right away.
People are very, very appreciative of what you're doing until they have to turn on the work themselves. And then they look at that. And I would say that if you had a gardener that was doing the maintenance work for you and you could say, hey, it averages, you know, $4,000 a summer for me to have somebody take care of everything start
that's
to finish.
Point.
And then they may say, oh, that's not so bad. Let's go ahead and let's purchase the house and we can handle that. Or they may say, oh boy, I can't afford that. And I don't have the extra, you know, 3, 4, or 5 hours a week to do this. And so, you know.
Yeah, but some of them are good. Some are good to have because it gives color and an acre lot with a well that feeds them. That's
let's
awesome.
Get us right, though. I mean, but like a fern garden is different or something that's below the trees in the back on the backdrop is fine. I'm guessing that we're talking about beautiful flowers and all kinds of neat things that change colors throughout the year and have.
You're weeding constantly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. How about, what else, Harvey? Was there another thing?
And when you list it, the well is very important. I mean, you're not using city water to water for irrigation, correct?
100%. Yeah, that's a benefit, and I kind of mentioned that a little, but it's a benefit. But you got to let people know it, and I think that's
right,
what happens
exactly.
A lot of times is that realtors don't do it, and
right.
you gotta make sure that you because that's what creates value because they're like,
right.
Oh wow, gosh, if I had to pay all the city water, you know, but geez, this is just water mm-hmm. in itself, and that would cost me $5,000, you know, blah, blah, blah.
And I had a listing last year. This exact situation was happening where they had beautiful gardens throughout the entire backyard. And we decided to go to market, you know, Harvey, where we had the package put together. We had the garden bid. We had the everything it cost to maintain it from, you know, running a well to the fertilizers to the whatevers. And we had it all put into a packet. We had a date in the packet that said, if we don't get done by this date, we're going to switch gears and we're going to market this as we're going to have this removed by this date. And it sounds terrible and sad.
Yeah.
And it's especially when you spent years building it and making it beautiful. But now the buyer coming in, if you said, hey, as part of the sale price, we're actually going to dedicate $3,000 to renovate the backyard the way that you wish. So if that means removing some of these gardens or if that means, you know, maybe limiting the amount of gardens that we have and, you know, removing the koi ponds. I hate to say it, but you know, those kind of things that
I have one.
Oh, absolutely. But I think about buying my house and I look at how much time I spend back, you know, playing at the pond. And somebody else will look at that as being a burden. And so it's you know, just like a swimming pool or anything else. You just have to find
and
that
you
got to
think the other way is that it's really not your house anymore.
Right.
You're trying to get that prospective buyer in which to be able to purchase it. And sometimes, you know, and sometimes people are like, no way, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
It just costs you money.
Well, and Harvey, a guy like you that's thinking about that ahead of time, you're smart because most people that fall in love with their own house become their worst enemy because they won't sell their house or do what they need to do to get it sold. So good for you for addressing this up front.
Thank you, Harvey. Let's go back to the phones. Josh is calling from New Brighton. Josh, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. Just a quick question. I'm closing on a duplex right now. It'll be my first one in St. Louis Park. Just wondering if the appraisal comes up below the value, what I put it in, I should be able to renegotiate that. And would you guys, if they don't renegotiate, just back out of that?
Well, yeah, you can do that. I mean, St. Louis Park is a hot area, as you probably know. And but what will happen is that the bank will lend on either the appraised value or the sale price. So if the sale price is $400,000 and it appraises for $390,000, you just do your loan off of $390,000 instead. Then you got to add that $10,000 in. Now, if it's FHA, you know, which I would doubt it is, but if it was FHA, there's an appraisal clause, and it's an escape clause that says you're out of the deal, you know. But if you don't have that clause in, and this is a bank financing or conventional type financing, if you can still qualify, even though it doesn't appraise for that, you still have to purchase the property.
Well, and I think it's, you know, here's the other thing, too. And I know that we all get cold feet when we buy anything. You know, we have that buyer's remorse kind of hit us. And that's the hardest thing between writing a purchase agreement and waiting for the appraisal. We all start panicking. You know, it's kind of like waiting for test results for something. You think you've got whatever they're testing for before you get the results back. But the point of it is that when that appraisal comes back, even if it's under, a titch under, that's a long-term hold investment. And if you're going to have, you know, wonderful tax benefits, you're going to have, you know, an ability to make money off of that property, $5,000 or $10,000, I hate to say it, but in the big picture of investing is not a big deal. You could absorb that, and over time that would go away, and that may be the best purchase you've ever made.
And appraisers need to use comps that have recently sold. It's a duplex, so not a lot of them sell, so they might not have all the comps that you need, and the value is probably completely there.
Mm-hmm.
Typically it's based on what you're getting for rent. A couple text questions. Andy, we are looking to purchase new construction in St. Michael. What are your opinions regarding short and long-term value in that area? You know,
well, they've got,
they got a good football team. I know that.
Volleyball team, excellent football team. I jokingly say that because here's one of the things I would say to you. If you find value or see value in schools like I do and most of the buyers do out there, excellent school system up there, you're going to see a lot of value over the years. That's where new construction is going because that's where there's space. And it's off the 94 corridor. So I think if you have a commute, sometimes the hardest thing that I have with convincing a customer to go past Rogers is the actual commute time to get them into the city.
Okay.
Other than that, you're fine.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Wondering about home value impact of taking out a bathtub on the main floor and only having a walk-in shower. Does this negatively impact resale? Yeah, maybe. And why I say that is because if you don't have a tub and it's a house that our kids are going to be in, well, they usually take tubs or what? Take baths.
That's the thing.
Take tubs. And they take baths and maybe not the shower, but I'll tell you what, a big walk-in shower is a big thing. So if you have a bathtub somewhere else, I don't think it's horrible, but you just kind of
put it this way, new construction, Denny, we have, I'd say 95% of the people not doing tubs in their masters.
Really?
They're doing big walk-in tile showers.
Yeah.
No kidding.
I just told someone that has a house that was like 2004. They want to remodel their master bath and they said, hey, should we keep the tub in a shower or do the walk-in? And it's kind of in that 500,000 range. And I said, the walk-in is a 2017 thing.
But you need one tub. You need, like Chris said, you need one tub. So I always call it the kids' bathroom. Whatever is designated as the kids is where I'd put the tub.
We're going to grab this one. My house has the original in-ground septic system. Seems no banks will loan money for new buyers unless the septic is replaced. Is that my cost or the buyer's cost?
Well, it sounds like it's your problem because you can't sell your house without it. So I think what I would do is address it, get the problem fixed, and then maybe you can even raise the price because you've added value to the property versus having somebody inheriting a problem.
People are expecting that they can go to the bathroom.
Well,
the
they always
you know what I mean? If the septic system's
the
not working.
Yeah.
We're going to outhouses.
I know your friends, Chris. Yeah. So.
We'll kind of leave on that note today. But in the meantime, now it's going to be a beautiful weather weekend. There are going to be some open houses for you guys?
Absolutely. Yeah, hit our websites, Prasky.com, ChrisRooney.com, and we've got everything laid out there. And then follow us on social media, too. We've got the Real Estate Radio Hour on Facebook, and we a lot of times post stuff there, too, links and fun stuff and resources. And
yeah.
And try to be helpful as we can, Denny.
You're going to be, and you indeed are. Are you going to be back next week, I hope?
Yes, we are.
All right, very good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.